Good morning, people of God. Welcome as we come together as this body in this place at this time, coming together as one. It's good. It's good. How are you? Now, I have to ask you the question. How have you seen Jesus this last week? Where have you seen Jesus this last week? What's that?
The snow.
Blowing snow?
Snow.
Okay. What?
Right here.
Right there. Okay.
I saw him in Baltimore.
You saw him in Baltimore. Yes, Nancy. Clinic? Okay. You got to keep your eyes open because you never know how you might see the activity of God working itself out in our everyday, ordinary stuff of life. Today is a transitional Sunday. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, where our gospel text will have Jesus going up on a mountain and being transfigured there, and then we will be entering into the Lenten season beginning this Wednesday evening with Ash Wednesday. So please put that on your calendar. We'll talk more about that at the end of the service. Let's prepare our hearts and minds with our confession and forgiveness. We begin here at the baptismal font, for here we are reminded of who we are and to whom we belong. So we begin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. And I invite a moment of self-examination and reflection at this time. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to a new life in Christ. Amen. We sing, gather us in. I want to invite us to stand as we sing this.
This place.
heaven here to be salt of the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place a new light is shining, now is the kingdom, now is the day. Ever a seed and hold us forever, ever a seed and make us your own. Ever a seed of peoples together, fire of love in our flesh and our bones.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity, so that we may share in his divinity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading, a reading from Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin on his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take a veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm reading from Psalm 99. Read in the bold print. Respond in the bold print. The Lord is king. Let the people tremble. The Lord is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake.
The Lord created Zion, is high above all peoples.
Let them confess God's name, which is great and awesome. God is the Holy One.
O mighty King, Father of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in the earth.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and fall down before God's footstool. God is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron among the priests, and Samuel among those who call upon your name, O Lord. They called upon you, and you answered them.
You spoke to them out of a pillar of cloud. They kept your testimonies and the decree that you gave them. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and worship upon God's holy hill, for the Lord our God is the Holy One. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But in their minds, but their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides, refused to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord and Savior, open now your saving word. Let it burn like fire within us until our hearts are stirred. Hallelujah, Lord, we sing for the good news that you bring.
The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one anything of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
May be seated. Invite the kids to come up here at this time.
Good morning. Good morning, Sophia.
I think we got a couple more.
I see them, yeah. Come on up, guys. Here, come on. It's wiggling around. Hi there. All right. Well, I am going to read. You can come on up. So I'm going to read today's gospel out of this story Bible, because sometimes it's just kind of fun to hear it in some new words, written in a little bit different way. So I'm going to read it this way. Let's see if I can scoot sideways enough. It's called Mountaintop Visitors. Jesus and three disciples, Peter, James, and John, hiked up a mountain to pray. As they prayed, Jesus changed. His face and clothes became dazzling white. "What's happening?" whispered James. Peter squinted. "I can't look. It's too bright." "You have to look," John insisted. "Moses and Elijah just appeared." Moses and Elijah were two prophets from long ago. They talked with Jesus about things that would happen soon. Peter, James, and John were tired from their hike, but they couldn't look away. They knew a visit from Moses and Elijah was important. Peter shouted, "Jesus, it's good to be here. Let's stay. We will build houses for you and Moses and Elijah." James and John nodded. Suddenly, a cloud covered the mountain, and everything was quiet. Then a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son. Listen to him." The disciples' mouths dropped open. They had heard God's voice. The cloud faded away. Moses and Elijah were nowhere to be seen. Jesus looked just like himself again. Jesus started walking down the mountain. Slowly, the disciples followed. "I don't want to leave this mountain," James sighed. "I want to talk with Moses and Elijah." "I want to stay," John agreed, "and hear God's voice again." "Something amazing happened here," Peter said. "Something we will never forget." That's pretty cool, huh? I'm losing my microphone, so I'm just going to hold it. That was pretty cool. How many of you woke up this morning and on your drive to church were like totally blinded by the sun beaming off of all of that snow? How many of the adult drivers out there were totally blinded? And then how many of you were driving the wrong car and went to flip down the visor and all of the stuff fell on your head? No, just me? Okay, sorry, we'll talk later. Okay. So we switched vehicles this morning, and I didn't realize how many things he kept in the visor. But it kind of actually reminded me of this story. As I was driving over, I thought, oh my gosh, first of all, it is so blinding and bright, I can hardly look. But I have to look because I have to keep driving the car, right? I mean, otherwise I would never get here, and then I might be nose first in a snowbank, and I'd be hearing about that too. So I knew I had to keep my eyes open even though it was so incredibly bright. And then I had another big shocker when a whole bunch of stuff landed on my head. And that was kind of like our disciples. First they look up and it is incredibly bright and they can't understand what is happening to Jesus. And then, on top of that, they're still trying to figure that part out. And then what happens? Moses and Elijah show up. I mean, that is incredible. Have you seen Moses and Elijah? Not recently. Have you? Have you? Not recently. How about you guys? No, neither had these guys. This was incredibly crazy business, right? And so they wanted to stay, but Jesus said what? Time to go. Keep that little experience in your head. Keep it with you. And we're going to keep going on. We've got to keep moving forward. We've got to go back down off of this mountain. But we've got to keep that experience with us and remember it. Right? So just like James and John and Peter, who went down off of that mountain, believe me, the next time I'm driving my husband's car, I'm going to have a little thing in the back of my head that says, don't use the visor. Right? Pull out your sunglasses. Right? That's just like us, though. We have those moments all the time, our God sightings, where we witness Jesus in action, and then we have to just remember them and keep moving forward. Right? Awesome. Thank you for joining me this morning. It was really good to have you listen to the story and talk with me this morning. I'll see you guys later, okay? All right. Thank you.
Would you please pray with me? Gracious, loving God, we are grateful this day. Grateful for your Spirit that draws us together. Grateful for each other. And grateful for your Son. We give you thanks for your word Now may the words of my mouth and thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mountains tend to be a big image in Scripture. Yeah, I think they're kind of big images in our world too. How many of you have been to the mountains? Who's been to the mountains? When you see the mountains for the first time, what was your thought? Yell it out. Wow. Why so wow? You had seen pictures of the mountains, didn't you? Before you got there? Huh? It's wow, huh? Actually, one of my mountains wasn't really a mountain. It was, we're going to see the Grand Canyon. Anybody ever seen the Grand Canyon? Oh yeah. Yeah. The thing I remember, because I'd seen pictures of the Grand Canyon, and I knew what it was going to look like when I got up to the edge, and suddenly I had no clue about how it was going to be. And it really was one of those moments where you kind of stood there going, wow, God is good. I mean, just the sheer beauty of it. You know, we like to use terms like mountaintop experiences. Those are places or times when we feel we experience God in a special way, a spiritual high, a place where it's different than the normal stuff. Now, one of those places for me was Bible camp. Not necessarily when I went to Bible camp as a camper. I went to Bible camp 1 year as a camper. It's confirmation camp. See, it's not a new thing. In ancient days, they made us do it too. I just remember I had a crush on one of the girl counselors. That's all I remember. But when I worked at Bible camp, that was a mountaintop experience for me, a kind of a continuing type of thing. As I experienced the type of community I was a part of and the people that surrounded me who continued to be close friends, that was a time of spiritual growth, a time of really seeing the presence of God working in and through people, through the staff and through the campers that were there. So we have these mountaintops. Then I had to go back to college. I had to go back to school. But isn't that the way it is? We have these experiences and then we're shoved back into life. Right? In our gospel text today, Jesus has been spending so much of his time in the imagery of the valley, where he was healing, he was casting out demons, he was feeding, he was responding to people's needs, and the disciples were responding to the people's needs. And of course that was creating a great uproar in some fashion, because the people that he was hanging out with were oftentimes fringe people, not the powerful people. And it was getting the political leaders and the religious leaders kind of upset. And it was exciting and fulfilling and wonderful for the crowds. The text prior to this that we know as the Transfiguration text in Luke has Jesus asking his disciples, hey, who do people say that I am? And that's where we have Peter saying, well, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. Then Jesus goes on to say what's going to happen, how he's going to go to Jerusalem. One of his first announcements of what was going to take place. Jesus goes up on a mountain. And that was very common for Jesus, because Jesus talked about getting away from the crowds so he could get away to pray. This time he took with him three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. Actually, I switched it around when I read it. It's Peter, John, and James in the text, but you'll forgive me. Up on the mountain to pray. And there, it's almost like he knew where he was going, but he also needed some encouragement, something to help him along. Moses and Elijah are there, and we're here in the text that they talk about what was going to happen. What was going to happen as he changed his and moved his face towards Jerusalem. And then the voice of heaven, "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him. Come down." You know, it would have been really nice just to stay up there. In fact, the disciples just kind of wanted to do that. They wanted to build some shelters up there. Isn't that kind of like what we want to do too? When we're in kind of this really good place, we kind of want to hang out there for a while. And we'll do all that we can just to kind of hang out in that space. But Jesus brings them back down. And as we would read on in the text following, they're back to doing the same stuff that they were doing before. Only now, he's going to Jerusalem. Mountaintops, valleys. One of my seminary professors by the name of Lauren Halverson gave me probably one of the most helpful images to hang on to as I thought about life, as I thought about ministry, as I thought about what does this world really look like. And it's really very, very simple. It's a figure eight. What's the idea of a figure eight? Anybody?
Infinity.
It just keeps on going. Right? It keeps on circling each other. Keeps on going. And Professor Halverson spoke about the two parts of the figure eight, the two open spots, one being the secular, one being the sacred. Or you could put other language in there too. You could say mountain, valley, whatever. You can do whatever you want. We're going to use secular and sacred. And that motion wove in and out of both of those realms. Because that's where we, as people of God, that's where we live. We live in both of those. We live in both of those realms. And the part of the thing, too, with that, is that each one informs the other. How we live is how we pray. How we pray is how we live, is another way of saying it. Or what we believe is how we live. How we live shows what we believe. There's that constant flow and motion within that figure eight. Now the danger in any of these images, the danger in this image is what happened if we just get stuck going around one and just kind of hang out there and just kind of never get around to going to the other one? What happens? Anybody? Thoughts? What? Any thoughts what happened?
You don't lead a balanced life.
You don't lead a balanced life. So let's say you're caught up in the sacred. You're caught up on that mountaintop. You want to kind of stay there forever. Isn't that by wanting to stay there, and isn't that denying what we're called to do, what Jesus calls us to do? And what about if we get caught going around just in the other one? What happens there? What do we forget? What's that? There you go. There you go.
It's the older and the younger brother in your Bible.
Oh, it's the older. Okay. But we can get stuck. We can get stuck. You know, you may have heard this type of thing, but if you get stuck in the sacred, do you say you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good? How many have heard that saying? Yeah, you've heard that saying. What was important to me, and this is the key for me to understand this image of the figure eight, is Dr. Halverson placed the cross of Christ right at the intersection where those lines crossed. In other words, Christ is the Lord of both and informs both as we see and experience need. It informs us, Lord, we opens us up to what should we do? Or it opens our eyes to be able to see need, what we're called to do. Figure eight. Jesus takes them down from the mountain back into what they were doing. Of course, I certainly believe that here today is a mountaintop experience. Because then we're sent out into the world to be God's people. In a little while, we'll be gathering around the railing and sharing a meal which feeds us and empowers us and reminds us of our own journey, of our own way. Reminds us that Christ is here and goes with us. Like Jesus, we have challenging ministry before us as we seek to reach out in our community of Menominee as we boldly proclaim that love of Christ. In the midst of that, we'll have mountaintop experiences. We'll be awestruck by God, but we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do those things which we're called to do. So actually, these are pretty exciting times. Exciting times for individuals and for our congregation. I think. I'm excited. God will give us the opportunities and will give us what we need to overcome obstacles so that we can witness to God's love and grace. The one thing I can assure you also is that as you open yourself and go on that journey of figure eight, in and out, you are constantly changed. You are never the same again. And because of that, neither will the world around you be the same again. Amen.
I want to walk as a child of the light.
invite you to stand as you're able as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's join our hearts together as we pray for the church, the world, and all who have need. Loving God, reveal to your body that we call the church here your will and your way. Empower us by your Spirit to do those things which you call us to do. Help us to keep our eyes open and our minds open and our hearts filled with love and grace. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for your world, Lord. Even though we complain, we thank you for the snow. For we know that the snow replenishes needed waters for the land, for those around. Grant us patience, safety, we look for the promise of spring and the growth that takes place. Plants shoot up. Newborn animals are found running around. Signs of new life. May your creation be that sign of new life for us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our world. We pray for those who would lead. We pray that you would grant wisdom and understanding. A spirit of justice. Where there's wars, we pray for peace. Where there's hunger, we pray for food and relief. Be with those places that we name in our hearts that weigh heavy on us. Places like the Middle East. Places like Haiti. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we pray for those who struggle this day. We pray for those who struggle with addictions, those who struggle with relationships, where we find brokenness. We pray for your Spirit of healing to be there. Enter those broken places of our lives to help us to know of your power and your presence. We lift before you those who grieve. Today we remember Maxine Cole's family and those who are sick and recovering. We pray for Sue, for Ann, for Kathy, for Phyllis, Lexan, Kevin, Sean, Ann, Libby, Joe, Owen, Bryce, Leo, Sam, and all those that we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for relationships that span continents and oceans. And we give you thanks for our relationship with our companion synod in Malawi. And we pray for Bishop Bumbe, as he is with us here in Wisconsin now for a time. Strengthen the relationship between our synod and the synod there in Malawi. Be with their pastors and their leaders, that they may proclaim your good news to the people there. Lord, in your mercy,
Amen.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for those who have shared the good news with us. Help us to remember that as those who have shown us your face, help us to be your face to those around us. Lord, in your mercy,
Amen.
We lift up into your hands all these things that we see that we need. We trust in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us share that peace with one another. Receive our morning offering at this time. God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
We holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven, earth, and all of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. Giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The table has been set, and you're invited to come and to eat. So come. It's been prepared for you.
Thank you.
you and keep you in his grace and his peace. Go in peace. Strengthen you and keep you in his grace and his peace. Amen. Thank you. may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you with his grace and his peace. I invite you to please stand as you're able. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord. Amen. Amen. Like children in the arms of Jesus, receiving blessings, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with mercy and grace. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our ascending song, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Jesus, light of the world, shine upon, set us free by the truth.